So I want to begin tonight. I want you to picture a ladder. You know, with two side rails, and then there's rungs across that connect it.
Excellent.
Now if you twist and turn that ladder, you have the normal image or picture of DNA. Two strands of DNA connected by cross rungs of various genes. Are we okay?
So far.
Yeah.
And if we stretch out that pattern of the DNA, you can read the genes from left to right or right to left, whatever you want to do. You can read the whole 26,000 genes that make up Mark over here. Well, he's probably only got 25.
More or less.
Plus or minus. We okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, if you read that from left to right, if you read your genes from left to right, then that's the same as language. We read language from left to right. Or if you turn it upside down like Chinese used to be, it's up and down. But now I guess Chinese goes from left to right. Okay. Does everybody understand that?
Okay.
Andrew, yeah. You with me, Andrew? Andrew? I can't hear you.
You still can't hear me, I swear, I'm on the phone.
Now you are.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you, promise.
Okay. Now, if you understand that so far, if gene 1 at the one end of the DNA wants to interact with gene 26,000 at the other end, there's a lot of time and space and genes intervening. Would that be correct? What in the world is going on? Who has their phone open and are rattling around? Is that you, Andrew? Well, I can't even hear you, Andrew. You sounded like you just fell down into the toilet.
Okay, I'll sit here. I'm sitting right on top of the phone. It's still not me making the noise. Thank you.
Okay, whoever's making all the noise, put your phone on the mute. Are we okay? I've got to find out if somebody has any idea what I'm talking about so far.
I'm trying
to describe something, and like I've always said, conversations on Monday, we're not arguing, but I'll answer any questions if you don't understand my description. Okay. Mark has a question.
So is this true that I heard you say there's a lot of distance and so on between the two ends, a lot of intervening genes. Do they actually have something to say to each other?
Let's assume the two genes want to act or communicate, or they interrelate together so that two genes provide you with health and well-being. Absent two genes and nothing to communicate, you got an illness or a disease. Okay?
Okay.
All I'm saying is that for genes to communicate, when I stretch out the DNA like a ladder, that communication is like language, from left to right or right to left, however we do this. But it has to go through a whole series of words or languages, or everything has to be in its place in order for one end of the gene to communicate with the other end of the gene. One end of the DNA to communicate with the other end of the DNA. Okay? It's like the end of a ladder. Now, there is something wrong with that picture. That's the picture we normally see with this twisty spiral of ladder-like thing. But it doesn't occur in your body in that form. It's all scrunched up. What?
Really? I didn't know that. Okay.
That's right. Your DNA is all scrunched up together, kind of like a hairball. Take a ticker tape and write something on it, and then ball it all up like a hairball, and you begin to think then that if it's a hairballish form of thing, then gene A could communicate directly with gene 26,000, because in hairballing they could be right next to each other. So under normal looking at it conditions, you would say, well, they're really separated. But in fact, in hairball relationship, your genes could be right next to each other and affecting each other in that way. Now, stretched out, that's language, and we think our language. Well, I want you to, what I've been trying to get you to do in terms of images and connections and a few other things is to hairball. Think hairball. Don't have to go gene by gene or step by step in languaging. You can go to anywhere you want to in hairballing. You okay with this, Andrew?
I am. Yep.
And that's the normal form that your DNA rests within your body. And I'm just saying, well, that's actually the normal way you should be thinking. Not thinking your language, but hairball your thinking. And then if you want to use language to stretch out and express the hard way what it is in describing what you've hairballed, that's okay. But what I... when you stop and think about this, then that in the same way, when I ask you to... I'm getting an echo. Guess it's gone. When I ask you to create an image, you can realize that there is, when you create an image, there is no sequential relationship in the image itself, nor is there any expressed way that you are supposed to describe the image. So you don't, in a sense, you don't bastardize the image with the structure of language, which must be put in a predetermined set way.
I think I understand that.
So from now on, we'll just talk about or consider hairballing. That's what I'm asking you to do. When you make connections, when you're creating an image, or etc., you can connect anything to anything that you desire. You do not have to language it within a certain specific sequence. Then after you've made the connection, then you can use language, sequential language, to describe what you've just hairballed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we get to decide
what?
How it's scrunched.
I mean,
if it's all scrunched together, I mean, then in actuality, certain things would be next to each other, but we don't know what that is. But you can think that way.
You can make any connection to anything you desire.
We can decide where our scrunches are. Basically.
Sure.
Okay.
And then if you understand that, then you would understand that languaging is portrayed as alternatives set in a certain pattern to arrive at a certain goal, and options are completely free. Hairballing is completely free. You're not trying to hairball to get to a certain place. If you're trying to get to a certain conclusion, then your thinking is not hairballing. You can put anything together in any way you want and see what occurs. Okay.
Robert,
what?
What do the scrunches mean?
What does what?
Scrunches.
Scrunches?
What just means like you take a piece of paper, a big, long ticker tape, and ball it all up. It just means that what was far apart at one time the DNA actually functions all scrunched up in a ball. And in the same way...
And in life, what does that translate to?
It means you don't... You are thinking and making connections in accordance with the sequence of language. When you do that, you are living by language only, whereas even your body doesn't function in that way. Your DNA and the way you function, your body functions, can operate by making any connection between any gene adjacent.
Got it.
So, yeah?
We had trouble with our telephones, so it took a bit of time to get ourselves in with Google phones, so I hope I sound okay.
Oh, actually, you sound really, really, really good.
Oh, good.
You've never sounded better. Okay, we've hairballed.
That's right, you were clear.
We've hairballed a bit there, Patrick. You want to take over?
Well, I heard the last little bit of the hairball.
Okay, you want to take over and talk to us about your sight?
Yes.
And how might hairballing apply to your sight?
Well, I'd like to start with what we started with, and then I'll go to hairballing the site, okay?
Whatever.
I sent out an invitation. I started a site that's called Eternal Self Book on Facebook as kind of it's an interim approach to get it up and running and start working on what we can do with it. Sent out an invitation to a number of people that I thought would be interested in through this telephone conversation now, that anybody else that's on Facebook or wants to go on Facebook, let me know if you're interested and I will send you an invitation, because it's by invitation only. That I've set up a group that is totally private, available only to those that have been invited by the administrator, and I happen to be the administrator. Now, this is an opportunity for all of us to share together some of the work that we're doing on firming up the image of our eternal being, getting something functional there that we can work with. For instance, maybe taking the first of the eight things that we're proud of and describing the eternal expression of that. What does that mean about the context for your life, and so on and so forth. Roger has, he has his own, he's now on Facebook, and he has posted his initial, first of his things that he's proud of, and it's available for all of you to look at and comment on, and see the pattern that he's laid out there and see if you can make that pattern functional for yourself. I've been thinking that we can also use perhaps a past life reading that's particularly meaningful to us, and then take that and see what you can do about describing an image of how you came alive. Let's see, what else? This is, as I say, this is a start. I'd like to see what folks are willing to do with it. And I'm going to work with anybody that's got suggestions on how we might develop this further. I kind of envision people being able to create their own self, eternal self page that would be accessible to all of us that are willing to work together, and it need not necessarily get confined to the structure of Facebook. Facebook is reasonably limited by its structure. but I'm going to work with whoever has got some ideas here to see how we can make this work for all of us. Maybe as we design our own stuff, maybe we buy some other software, whatever it is, we'll find a way to work it together. Now, that in fact is probably another way of hairballing this. Instead of going with the structure that's laid out by Facebook, and for instance, the structure of Facebook is sort of like the structure of language. You stay within that structure, that's all you can do, and that's all you'll know. I'd like to hairball this all over the place and see what we can come up with, make connections here, there, and everywhere about how we can make this work for our, for what we want it to be. And then that once people start posting their ideas and their thoughts, we can do some hairballing there. You know, Roger has already posted his number one thing he was proud of. Maybe something he said there you find attractive, and you can pick that up and see and make it your own, or adapt it and make it your own. That's another example of hairballing. And I hope that by all of us participating, we kind of just get expansive all the heck, and we've got all kinds of options started developing for ourselves. And I think we all have a real great time with this. Any questions and any thoughts people have at the moment?
So if what's up there is not what I gave, handed to Miss M. What's up there is what the only thing that Facebook allowed her to put up, the way it's up there on Facebook. So if I have a idea, I can just email you directly, and you're going to keep a book of all of these things.
That's right.
In other words, like I tried to explain at the gathering, since it's up on Facebook, we don't have to think about alternatives anymore, because we have one present answer or solution. So now all we can talk about is just options. I'd like to do this or that, or connect this, or hairball ideas, which then later we may put together in a separate site.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
Andrew, that was interesting. You went tap tap. Anybody there? Thank you.
Well, okay. Then what we're looking at, if I can understand this for a moment, that the site itself is kind of like entanglement. I could look at the site and gain certain understandings in the same way as I could go back to the ancestral lives of my body and pick and choose.
Exactly. Yes.
Wonder how we could, let's say, somebody, my site was, the first item was I was proud of being self-employed since the age of 6. I put up that Social Security thing to show that I have been registered paying taxes with the IRS, I mean with the Social Security, since the age of 6. Because everybody would otherwise say, oh yeah, sure. Well, it starts in 1937 and accounts for my thing. So, the point of it is, in all of that, it was self-employed. There is, that means zillions and zillions of ways in which I was self-employed, self-directed, and etc. How can we comment on that? In other words, what if somebody is... Do you see how options in hairballing is self-directed, and that alternatives and language thinking denies self-direction?
Yep.
So the question is, what?
I was saying you're stuck with the basic pattern of language, and that leads you simply to alternatives rather than the self-directedness.
That's right. And so a part of the whole purpose in, say, that example or anyone else's example is, how can I apply that in my life?
And I think people can ask questions. In the structure of Facebook allows, they call it just comment, but people, after any one of us posts something, there's opportunity for everybody that's been invited into the site to either make comment directly on what somebody else has said or ask questions about what somebody else has said. And that I don't think we want this to operate simply as a moderated site so that, you know, I administer it, Roger does all the stuff. No, I think everybody can ask questions and everybody can answer questions. And we sure want Roger involved if we go haywire here to help us out, I guess. But I think I'd like to have everybody feel wide open to comment and ask questions and post their own thoughts and get a real hairball community going here.
Well, I was just taking the lead in what I put up there because that was relative to me and doesn't necessarily mean anything to anyone else, but everyone, if we're talking about our eternal self and trying to look at that, then the easiest way to get that image or picture is to list or indicate eight or fewer, if not, that I just listed one at a time, but I've got all of them written out. But the first one, like an insipid, is an eternal self, a portrait of that, and go from there. I mean, it's an eternal self book, so then it seems to me that somewhere along the line, everybody who is signed up should at least put up item one that they have done that they're proud of, and that would be their eternal self, and then relate eternal self to eternal self.
I think that's a neat idea.
And what
I was going to ask, sometimes I feel more directed to my eternal self from my past life readings than I do from the eight things that I'm proud of.
Well, that's fine. Then that's right. But then put that up on the site and let's say where it came from or what it was about or. But like I said, self-employed, I could have said, starting at 6 years old, what I did or how I was employed every year for 17 years or so. But I didn't want to complicate it because my eternal self, as indicated on a thing, is I felt that I was, let's say, self-commissioned and self-directed from the very get-go. Now, let's assume that that's the case, then I have to look at things in my life that would, say, interfere with being self-directed. And certain goals or instead of being the goal but working toward the goal, then that alone, in a sense, destroys being self-directed. Languaging destroys being self-directed, whereas describing an image or a picture that I see or have in there then allows me free rein. The question is, how can you apply that in your life if you want to, or what is each person's eternal self? I think that should be somewhat sort of a requirement that you get on there, that you'd be willing to list and indicate what you consider is your eternal self, being the self that you'd be willing to be and live eternally.
Yeah, I think so too, Roger. And I encourage everybody that wants to participate to get something up as soon as you're ready.
Yeah. And a who said something?
Jennifer, and I said I love the idea, Pat. Thank you, and I'll look for my invitation to that site.
Okay.
I'll friend you because I can't invite you unless I'm friended. So I'll friend you, okay? I'll send an invitation to friends.
Yeah, that's also the structure.
And if I can find my picture albums, I'll put up item 2, 3, 4, maybe, so that then you can see how the other items are really the eternal self acting or interacting. And then, you know, I've been involved with this for quite a while, but that's just an illustration of then what others can do, and do it any way you want to.
That's super, thank you.
But having an image of your eternal self is, to me, an important beginning. And the reason for that is, I ask people all the time, what is it they truly want in life? Nobody seems to know. And when we talk about your eternal self, what is there in life that you would be willing to dedicate yourself to eternally? And no matter what you think about in that regard, whether you, this is why so many people that I know that were very, very successful, who got what they wanted and their life sucked. Why all that occurred? Because, in essence, doctors and successful people that I knew in Fairbanks in that regard said, well, I'd be willing to dedicate my life to medical practice, whatever form that might be, or to healing, or to whatever occurs, or I would dedicate myself to God or something else. You know, it really, I've never met anybody who was happy in that. And then you stop and think, well, wait a minute now. If you're an eternal being, or you're going to live as an eternal being, aren't you going to live something that you'd be willing to live eternally? And the answer is yes. So what is it? This is why people do something, dedicate themselves to music, to art, and their life ends up not being fulfilling. So what is, from all of that, what do you think might be an option? Yeah, that was not a rhetorical question. Well, the question is this. If you put up a good description of your eternal self, My question to you is, would you be willing to dedicate yourself and your life to your eternal self?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Well, you have to, or else it's not your eternal self.
I can't hear you.
I said you kind of have to, or else it's not your eternal self, right?
You don't have to, but you see, this is the way of living your personal self and life as an eternal being. Dedicate everything you do to your personal self. If I say to you that you are self-concerned, and I would then trash you for that, because all you think about is yourself, self, 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 self. But, and that's a no-no, but if you are thinking about and dedicating everything in your life to your eternal self, you are self-involved, self-oriented, because your eternal self is you. But you see that you can stand away from that and dedicate yourself to your eternal self. You with me?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, you pretty soon you would find, if you really understand what we're talking about, is that it becomes very easy to see. In my case, I would dedicate myself to being self-employed in everything that I do. And that's the eternal self of being self-employed. And I would do things to make sure that I wasn't losing that self-dedication in that regard.
So, in your case, self-employed could also mean self-directed.
It does. Self-directed, self-employed, self-commissioned. In other words, I gave myself a commission to live or follow or do or be in that regard. And so everything I do then dedicated in that way is dedicated to me, but actually it's dedicated to my eternal self.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Hey, Roger, does it necessarily mean by to be self-employed means to be employed by self in the physical sense? Or can one have a 9-to-5 job somewhere and still be self-employed, self-directed?
Of course, you could even, because part of that time in there, I had a job, but I was, now stop and think about this. If you have a job and you're only doing what you're asked to do, you're not much of an employee. But if you're self-directed in that job, you're a hell of an employee.
Got that. That makes sense, yes.
So, because what I'm doing in that job is not for, let's see, I think my first job was something like 43 cents an hour. As a job, I was working in a grocery store. That was back when bread was 9 cents a loaf or something like that. So, yeah, I would include that, because simply though I was employed in a 9-to-5 job, even at that, I was self-directed in that job. Always did what the people wanted, but I was self-directed in doing, not only doing that. We okay?
Yeah.
But the point of it is that when you look at this, you begin to find out what is, there is an underlying within you, there is an underlying constancy that is kind of like an eternal self has taken over, and you're working then is a partnership.
And also in your case, Roger, I think we could illustrate that the basic direction or tone of your eternal self is to be self-directed, self-employed.
No. Let me interrupt you a minute. Stop.
Okay.
It is not to be self-directed or self-employed. It is that I am self-directed and self-employed. Because to be is the object of a verb, and I'm saying, no, I am the verb itself.
Got it. Thanks for catching that. Now you apply that self-direction in a particular way this lifetime.
I choose.
And others.
I can choose not only in a way. I could list you 20 jobs I had before I was 17. Or not. You could say jobs or money-making things that I did, or the ways in which I was self-employed or self-directed. So it doesn't mean one way. I don't have to direct it to one thing, because in this then I was self-directed in everything that I do. So the question is, as you see your own eternal self in that or others, look at how that plays out or has played out in your life all along, or how maybe you've even resisted that in your life all along.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody shying away from a self-directed life, but maybe they would.
Oh, a lot of people would, and saying, like I had a conversation with the appliance repairman today, and in a sense, he comes from an attitude of religion and God and etc. And so self-directed then goes against that grain. And the self-directed in all that is, would you be willing to be forever faithful to your eternal self of being self-directed?
That seems like an easy one to answer, of course.
Well, yeah. Are you sure?
Well, I just in that pregnant pause, I thought of some circumstances where it might be a bit of challenge.
Well, you find out that it's really, really not a challenge.
Actually, it would be really freeing, the more I think about it.
Yeah, because then everything you do, it is you do it because you choose to do it. Not because you have to do it or that it's imposed upon you. We okay with that?
Yeah, I just have the image of a privilege.
That's right, and that image of a privileged being is that you're privileged to declare how you will be alive eternally. And so you could say, my declaration in that regard is to be alive self-directedly. And that means that I can be self-directed differently in every moment, does it not?
Yeah.
If I can be self-directed differently in every moment, you can say then that my eternal self is different in every moment. It's not a matter of saying, okay, I'm a healer, this is the way it is. This is my eternal self in this regard, and as long as... Let me discuss something else that I've been writing on that it sort of comes in here. So I'll talk to you, Patrick. Do you understand that there is no consciousness in the universe? Does that make sense to you?
I've never really imagined the universe to be conscious of
I don't disagree with that, Buddhism would say consciousness is the universe. That consciousness is the all of the universe. Other people would say everything is love. It's all love, and etc. But let's just say, could you accept the fact that the universe has no consciousness, that the universe can't love, can't intend, can't plan, can't think, can't grieve, or can't do any of these things at all whatsoever? What we've done is impose our ability of minding upon the universe. But when you strip the universe down to itself, the universe can't do any of these things. It can't even act intentionally. Is that okay?
That's okay, yep. I can hold that picture.
So then you could say to yourself, well, E equals mc squared, that means that the universe only has matter and energy or actions to work with.
Yes.
So then everything in the universe, even matter, is motion, and motion is energy, is action.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand that?
To me,
yeah.
The whole universe, I think the entire universe has is intelligent.
Okay.
And
all right,
wait.
I don't want to argue with that point.
Okay.
All I want to argue is you have no way of demonstrating or showing any intelligence in the universe whatsoever. And so therefore, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to say something, and I'm not going to spend every minute of arguing over every sentence. So you don't have to agree with me. I don't ask you to agree with me, just do you understand? Maybe if you understand, we can go somewhere that you've never been before. So all I want to do is, do you understand what I'm saying?
What you're saying is there's no consciousness at all in the
There's
universe.
No consciousness in the universe at all. There's no demonstration of consciousness. There's no demonstration of that the universe can intention, can plan, can think, can grieve, can love, can joy. The universe, there's nothing that shows that it can do anything. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's fine. If you believe it can do something else, then the likelihood is that all you're doing is projecting you upon the universe and personalize it in that way. But there's nobody that can demonstrate consciousness, or consciousness meaning self-awareness of the universe.
The universe is a feedback.
You can't demonstrate that that's true either. You cannot show me that the universe in any way feeds back anything whatsoever to you. We could say to you, you look out there and feed it back to yourself, but nothing in the universe feeds it to you. The universe really, 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 if you'll allow me these words, doesn't give a shit. You okay with this, Patrick?
Yeah, I used that the other day with somebody, And he should have seen the shocked look on his face.
That's right. If you want to really shock them, tell them that if you think God is unconditionally loving, that means that God doesn't give a shit. Because if he gave a shit, then that is a particularity of unconditional. We okay with this so far? As far as we know, now, mind is not consciousness or minding. Mind is only data and information. The only thing that the universe has to work with is matter or forms and energy, which is action. And we can demonstrate that every form, every molecule, every particle in the universe that is a something is in motion. We okay with that?
Yeah.
So that it's reasonable to say that the universe only has forms and actions to convey anything to you. Is this okay?
I have a problem with... Is there an implication of intent if it's going to convey something to me?
No, it conveys... the action itself conveys something to you, doesn't mean that it intends to convey that.
Okay. All right, yep.
So that, could you accept then that anything in the universe that is not in motion or acting doesn't exist in the universe? If you ain't living it, it doesn't exist. You see, what we've done is we've tried to personalize this and say, oh, no. It's a possibility. It's a potential. It's there within the universe. No, it's not there in the universe. That which is not action doesn't exist in the universe. Is that okay?
Action or form.
As what?
Action or form.
As in a form?
As action or a form. It does not exist.
Technically, it doesn't exist either as an action or a form, yes. Is this okay, Patrick?
Yep.
What might be... Can you give me some implications of what that might show or demonstrate?
Before we go there, I just want to ask then, data and information, as you've described it, as mind, has always had movement that isn't movement, but it is movement. So
what,
it exists.
What I said was, it's motion without movement.
Motion without movement.
Yeah, that's quiescent mind or quiescent data, yes.
Yes, so that it does exist within that definition then.
As motion without movement. And I tried to describe that as the sign go around Times Square on the building that says something and it looks like it's scrolling around the building. But it isn't. It's just bulbs lighting up that gives the appearance of motion and doesn't actually move. The sign doesn't move around the building.
Hmm.
You okay with this, Patrick?
So moving in the sense of changing its place.
Yeah. That we could say quiescent mind doesn't do that, but then as we move up a step in the universe only has material and matter and energy, and even matter is only energy, and all of that is only motion or action. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yes. Then I'm back to the same thing. Can you, what might be the implications of the fact that what you action, what you do not action, does not exist? And you can action something, and in actioning that, it then exists.
Well, what comes to mind first is the good old saw about love. Love itself means nothing. It's an act or an action that somebody might call love that then has existence.
So the only thing, love cannot exist, but an action of love, whatever we wanted to, however we want to define that, an action of love can exist.
Correct.
But love cannot exist.
That's correct. It has no form and no action.
Okay. Then, everything in your life is only exists because you keep it alive, you action it.
Yeah, and so, and then every belief, thought, attitude, word, emotion, and action are all five of those, I think that's five.
Six.
Are they all actioning?
They don't exist unless you action them.
Son of a gun.
And so when we...
What did you refer to, Patrick?
I'm sorry, what was that? Someone?
What did you refer to? The five what?
Six.
Every
belief, thoughts, attitudes, emotion, words, and action.
Okay.
And desires and experiences. You okay with this so far, Patrick?
Yep, I'm right with you, thank you.
Okay. So then, the universe doesn't offer you opportunities at all. You action, and that is an opportunity for you. Otherwise, it's not an opportunity for you. Is that okay?
I make it real.
What?
Yeah, I make it real by actioning.
No.
No?
No. You don't make it real. Don't go relying on language again. You don't make it real by actioning it. It doesn't even exist until you action it.
God, alrighty, I got that.
See how important that makes a whole different image in your head.
What's the difference between it being real and it existing?
Well, because real means like something exists, but I make it real by actioning it. And
oh,
I'm saying it doesn't even exist.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
It's not a potential sitting on the side.
It's not
waiting.
A potential. It isn't an opportunity that's available. There's not all of these things as such available to you in the universe that you can choose or pick from and then make them real by actioning them out. None of that has occurred.
So the good news about that is that there isn't anything you have to be stressed out about that you're not doing or accomplishing, because all of that is what you are in fact doing. Nothing else exists.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it.
Okay, and let me ask you a question.
Theoretically.
Is it
open my big mouth.
Is it possible then that an illness in your body is because you have kept a memory active of something? An unpleasant, undesirable memory that we've kept it going, that it only exists in our body or even exists in life because we keep it active. We action it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick, what does this have to say about forgiveness? on the getting side?
On get receiving?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You screwed up. Now, how does forgiveness play into that?
Well, change a different action.
Ah, you keep it alive. Change a different action. You kept it alive.
Ah. Ah, begin again.
Yeah, right. So I begin again.
Well, fine. You're using the words. Right. What? Describe what that means relative to where we've been talking here. You can't just use, well, begin again.
Yeah, I know. Right. So I, what, I guess I declare myself and take a step.
Declare yourself and keep it alive.
What are you talking about?
Because you declare.
Huh?
Why? What do you mean? Somebody's giving feedback. Look at your mute.
Sorry, I have no idea.
Okay, Andrew, go where you were going.
I'm just saying, I thought that the declaring myself was kind of like, that was beginning again. Remember who I am, declare who I am, and take a step in my new declared direction.
You're declaring to overcome what you have done, so your declaration in that keeps it alive.
Let me make a statement to you.
All right.
Any action I take relative to that initial thing I'm trying to overcome keeps it alive, so I was figuring declaring back to myself, meaning myself and relative to no worldly thing, I thought would be my new way to begin.
Well, I think where we were going, that I'm trying to get across here at this point, is that any action that seems to keep it alive or overcome it does actually keep it alive, and that by not keeping it alive, it no longer exists.
Yep, I see what you're saying. I guess I'm basically saying I guess I'm at a place right now. I realize I'm seeing this is any action seems to keep it alive because I'm acting relative to the previous action. I guess I'm struggling for a way to. Yeah.
That is what your begin again was the right, if we want to call right. Was a correct answer in that regard. But the point of it is, we don't do that. We really don't begin again. What we normally try to do is begin again to overcome, solve, resolve the problem. Then no matter what you're doing, you're keeping it alive, though you don't realize you're doing that.
You know, and that's actually what I was seeing, and I didn't necessarily see a way out. Even the begin again seemed to start relative to the previous action. So.
That's right, because you are then. Now, let's put this into play for a moment.
Okay.
What if there is a begin again already expressed, and that you go to that begin again? Not to continue that begin again, not as a way to overcome a problem.
That'd be really neat. Can you talk some more about that?
This is the original declaration or context of yourself and life. It is a matter of go back to living or acting upon the self and life that you originally declared, and what I'm trying to do on the website. You see that if I had an illness or a problem or a difficulty, we could say, I've lost my self-direction somewhere in that regard. Now, I don't solve the problem by beginning again. I continue again, and allow me the word continue again for the moment, because I'm still within the same lifetime, so I can continue again the original declaration, or begin again the original declaration, and the error or that resulted in the illness or problem, I can in that no longer have it exist for me.
Okay, right, because that original declaration was not done relative to this, what do you want to call it, thing you're trying to overcome.
That's right, so I'm not overcoming, I am living the declaration of myself.
Oh wait, I'm hairballing here, I'm going to a place that I've, what? I don't know how to say. I'm not even stepping back. I'm just moving to a place where I can begin again from wherever I am.
But you're beginning again of the original declaration.
You know, this has some merit. I guess the question I had, and some I wasn't going to go, isn't that like digging back into memory? I guess that's why I wouldn't think of that originally.
Well, that's right. And then the point of all of this is somewhere is that the declaration you may think you would make today or have made in this lifetime may not actually be the declaration you made.
Could you tell me a little bit about that? I don't follow that one.
You may have made a declaration 37,000 lifetimes ago, and you're still living that original declaration, like I may have declared in this lifetime to be self-directed, but I may also have declared that 100 lifetimes ago, and I'm just returning to that declaration.
Okay.
Is that okay so far?
Yep. I think so.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Well, I'm still a little bit confused about the statement you made that Andrew queried. What you just explained didn't seem to fit with the statement you made.
Which was?
You said something, what if your declaration that you made isn't the one that you really made?
I said that.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, then you've got to remember what I have said before. I want you to give me 8 things that you have accomplished that you are proud of, okay?
Yeah.
And when you give me a list, and I started out at 6. Try to say, hey man, this is the way I felt from the get-go. Are we okay? And so
yeah.
I would say, that is an image of my eternal self. Is that okay?
It is, yes.
Not the V, but an.
And, because I've also said, you can take the other 7, throw them up in the air, and pick them up one at a time, and you would find out that the other 7 portrays the first one of being, say, self-directed. Then all the other 7 portray an eternal self-directed eternal self. Is that okay?
Yeah, they weren't linear or causal. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I can throw them up in the air, and let's say number 6 comes up as the first one that I pick up off the ground, then number 6 becomes another image of my eternal self.
I got you. Right.
And the other that's number six is now number one, and the other seven is that particular image in action. We okay, Patrick?
Yes, I am.
And I can do that and make every one of those eight to give me eight different or somewhat alike, whichever the case may be, portrayals of my eternal self. Is that okay?
Yep.
No.
If I then put all of those together, am I then not likely to find that the whole of those eight things portray an image of my eternal self that is different, yet not that different from all of the other eight individually?
Sure.
We okay with that, Patrick?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Then what, like you said before, then self-directed, I could be employed or etc. Each one of those images of the way I live self-employed, then all that put together gives me an image of a self-employed or self-directed eternal self, does it not?
It does.
This way, that way, those ways, them ways, whatever ways. And so then in the same way, then putting all of those eight together are going to, in one, give me eight individual images of an eternal self, and together actually portray a different eternal self altogether.
So,
and that portrayal will be a different declaration of who and what I am.
Right.
You okay with that, Patrick?
Well, do you really mean really that it's different, or by going through all eight, do I end up with a more expansive view of my eternal?
It could be different, or that's why I said earlier, it could be different, and it could also be just a more expansive view of self-directed.
Okay.
I thought I heard you say somewhere that the eternal self that we're living could be from lifetimes ago?
Yeah, sure.
So, how do we know? Are our images? I mean, do we in fact have a central eternal self, and everything that we do is just an image and another facet of it? Or could we actually have an updated new image? And if so, then how do we not be acting out the old one?
Can
you understand?
No. You can only be acting it out if you keep it alive, and maybe that is a problem. Do you understand that by living by memories you keep it alive, that living by memory you do not keep it alive, but you can enliven it?
That's deep.
Yeah,
I've got to pause after that one for a minute.
But that's our language.
That's a bumper sticker, Misty.
You okay with that, Patrick?
I didn't hear that last bit that you laughed at.
She was saying it was a bumper sticker to say that.
I said it was deep. What he said.
Okay.
So living by...
Is it possible? Allow me this. If you don't keep it alive, is it possible? Wait a minute. All right, let me back up a minute. We okay? Do you remember when I asked you years ago, would you rather have an intimate relationship or be the reason you have an intimate relationship? Patrick?
Yes, I remember.
And most everybody chose to be the reason. Why?
If you're not the reason, you're not going to have it. Probably.
Why else?
It relies on someone else other than you.
Anything else, Patrick?
Yeah, that the being the reason means I'm actioning relationship.
Okay, but it also means that if you choose an intimate relationship and that turns to shit or you lose that relationship, you're out of luck. Whereas if you are the reason you have intimate relationships, then no matter what happens to any relationship, you are the reason for having another and another and another. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's kind of fine, yes.
That's fine?
Yes, that's just fine, thank you.
Okay. If I gave you this choice, Patrick, would you rather have an eternal self or be the reason you have an eternal self? And which would you choose?
I think I'd choose the reason again.
B.
Oh, so then your eternal self in every lifetime can be entirely different.
Son of a gun, that does follow, doesn't it? Holy crow.
Oh, gee whiz, that says, wait a minute now, maybe that says you don't continue, but you do not continue. In being the reason, the relationship doesn't continue, but it doesn't not continue either. Is that okay?
Thanks for drawing that. Yeah, that's fine. Thanks for drawing that parallel.
So, then at every moment you could have a different or other eternal self, could you not?
Mm-hmm, yes.
By being the reason you have a knowable, awareful, eternal self. Does this change any of your thinking about eternal self and continuing?
It would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to.
Okay. Does that mean then, let's say for instance, if I looked on the Eternal Self page and looked at something that Ann posted, does that mean that if I activated what Ann posted, that could be my Eternal Self?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, sure.
So that wasn't an opportunity, it wasn't there, but I, in a sense, made it an opportunity only because I activated it. And it was not alive in the universe at all until I activated it.
That's a good question, because I would have thought that Anne would have activated it in the universe.
Wait just a minute now. Are you willing to accept and listen very carefully? It was activated in the universe in the way Anne activated it, but it is not active in the universe at all in the way and manner in which I would activate it.
Okay, I see the difference.
Is that okay?
Yeah, got that.
So only then what I would activate, if I don't activate it, it has no life in the universe. It doesn't even exist in the universe. Is that all right?
No, that's just terrible. No, I get it.
Well, could you then say that there is no thing in the universe that you must live, should live, ought to live at all. But in this, then, you can activate whatever, this is like hairballing, that you can activate whatever you choose, and in that, then, it exists in the universe.
That's very clear to me now. Yes.
But are you also willing to say that it does not even exist in the universe?
And it's a given that's unspoken there is as activated by me.
Don't even say that. I mean, you, yes, this is correct. That's in other words, what I'm trying to get out of is saying this, that it exists in your universe or your reality. I'm willing to say it doesn't even exist at all.
You know, that's a bit of, you know, that I'm finding myself wanting to struggle with that a little bit.
I know. But I know, but that's a language concept that you are struggling with here.
Yeah. I'm not arguing against you. I'm just finding that resistance is there.
But you
see... I'm just curious, Pat, what is the... Where are you?
Well, it's the notion that I'm still following from a man posts something, and then I'm attracted to it, and then I activate it. That exists in the universe because I activated it. In the absence of me activating it, it didn't exist at all. I'm trying to square this bit about I saw the idea. Because Anne enlivened it and activated it, and I guess I'm still thinking I copied it.
Don't go there, because no matter what Anne posted, no matter what I gained from that, what I activate does or does not exist in the universe. It exists only as I activate.
Right. I think I understand that. Does that mean that if I see someone do something, the thing that I activate doesn't exist until I activate it? In other words, I didn't activate what they did. I activated what I did.
Does love exist in the universe in the sense of a what?
No.
So then what Anne lists cannot exist in the universe either.
I think we're having a little trouble here, Raj.
What was the question?
I don't disagree we're having trouble, but this is vitally important in everything, because If Patrick will go, love doesn't exist, only the action of love exists in that regard. Why is it now that all Anne posted was, this is my eternal self? That's no different than saying love.
So it exists for me, but it doesn't exist for anyone else.
It doesn't exist. What you activated exists. No, it exists as the action, not the what.
Am I conscious of everything I'm activating?
Well, now we'd have to get into a big long discussion of consciousness.
I'm just trying to figure out how something can be maybe. Okay, never mind. I'm backing off from that.
You okay with any of what?
Okay, your eternal self is something I'm thinking just from the gathering, is something that you really can't talk about until it becomes, is associated with something being, which is an actual form, which actually does an action. So, given that, it doesn't really exist as something, because it's a nothing until it is, I'll say, enlivened as a being acting, if you will. I don't know if I have the right word. Am I totally off?
No, that's a little bollocked up, but yeah, that's pretty close. Because your eternal, then are you willing to say your eternal self only exists as an action?
Yes.
Just like love only exists as an action.
Yes.
But love doesn't exist in the universe.
Right.
Is that okay, Patrick?
Yes, it is okay.
I mean, because what we're doing is we've assigned names to things and then say that because I've named it, it exists, and then I activate what already exists in that regard. And I'm trying to say is it doesn't exist except as an action. The universe doesn't have anything but forms and actions, and even forms are only actions. So, you can only exist as an action. The universe can only talk to you as actions, which is what dreams are all about. And everything in your life is only an action.
Right.
If you don't activate it, it doesn't exist. It cannot exist. If you don't continue it, it stops existing.
Right.
In the universe, not just in your universe.
Right.
Well, it doesn't...
And by that... Oh, go ahead.
I say it doesn't exist if you're dealing in memory, but if you're dealing in memories, it can... You can totally keep some crap from the past.
Of course you do. Now you keep it existing, and then you keep that problem going in your life, even though that's still an action. Memorying is an action that we keep going in that regard. Especially since all things in the universe is mind, and memorying is only minding, so you're keeping the stuff going.
Right. Mm-hmm. And by that premise, you're talking about the action and existence, then it debunks the whole concept of a spiritual something that already exists.
I'm not quite sure I understood that.
Well, in terms of language, in terms of religion, and how the world has been divided into a spiritual and material, as if the material is the existing thing that you can experience, but also spiritual also exists. The spiritual doesn't exist.
Well, then...
Or soul, or spirit.
Then it's only an action of the physical, is it not?
Exactly.
And we have labeled it as spiritual and then set the very action in opposition.
Right.
And then we've treated as good or bad actionings.
Right.
And we... This is foolishness in the whole thing. If you don't action it, it doesn't exist in the universe, not merely in your universe.
Right.
Is this okay?
Okay.
So
the
question in healing is not a matter then of changing what you believe, but not continuing what you believe.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because the likelihood of changing your beliefs, you will change your beliefs to overcome the problem, and in that you maintain the problem because you've activated it in that way.
It's like not discontenting
right.
yourself.
It's what?
It's like not discontenting yourself. It's the same.
In a sense.
Kind of.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I hadn't really intended to get into this. I was still on page 3, and we haven't gotten any of that done. Well, let me ask you this. Is there, and Anne's going to take me to task for this, so that's okay. Is there anything that we have said tonight that we couldn't put under the category of eternal by reason?
What?
Eternal by reason. Not by reasoning, but by reason. In the same way that you would choose to be the reason you have intimate relationships, the reason then that you have an eternal self. Is not everything we've talked about a discussion of the reason that you have these relationships or your eternal self or life or whatever or not?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We okay with that, Patrick?
Yeah, it's taking on a whole new view of being the reason.
Well, that's right. And that's even what we've said today. Just a small part. Now, the point of bringing this kind of stuff up is, how can we apply this kind of reason on the site? How can we express this? How can I choose to activate something on the site and have that and that be the reason I have that in myself in life.
I'm not sure what you're asking, Roger. I'm kind of lost in the question.
Do you remember I said before it's okay to look out there and sort of set your goals, but then you don't try to fulfill your goals, you become your goal when you've set it. Is that okay?
Okay.
Could I then look at the site and see Anne's whatever, and then be that and activate that and have that in my life?
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not...
What I'm getting at in all of this is, isn't it possible for you to hairball your thoughts or your desires in life or what you want in life and etc., and then in one way or another activate what you've hairballed and make that your life? Do you understand what I said, Sally?
I'm not sure about the hairballing. I don't have an image of that.
Can I not?
I see my cat's popping it up. That's what I see.
She might not have been on the call when you explained it.
What?
She may not have been on the call when you explained hairball.
Oh, when did you start off? Were you here in the first part? Did you hear the first part of this night?
Yeah, but I wasn't really.
That's what I thought. Okay. What I'm saying is, isn't it possible to put anything together and, like we said before, make it up and make it real? Isn't it possible to put anything together and be that?
Yeah, I think that's possible. Okay.
And then in that, then you are, the reason that you are that is because you put it together and activated that.
Right. And the key word is activate, for the action of that.
Anything that occurs or exists as an action must exist. Anything that does not occur as an action cannot exist in the universe. Is that okay?
Right.
So, only those things in your life, good or bad, that exist, exist only because you actioned those things.
Okay.
Is that okay for you, Patrick?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. And then do you see... What?
Can we pause for a sec? I got a question.
I got an answer.
Remember at the gathering, you asked me if it was possible to experience driving a race car without driving a race car.
Yeah.
And I said yes. Exactly. Now, am I in experiencing driving a race car all in mind? Is that an action?
Of course it is, because everything in life is mind, and therefore what you are actively minding in that regard, you are actively actioning
and creating.
Okay. Is that okay?
And the same Roger, same goes for dreams.
Absolutely, that's the point. We'll get that's what I'm talking about, because in your dreams, that is what you are actioning.
Right.
There's one exception to that. I dreamed the other day that Obama hired me, and so that was my dream, but he hasn't called.
Okay.
So I just forgot it, so it's no longer active in my mind. Is this okay?
Right.
So anything you have in your life, it is there not because you created it. Do you understand that? It is because you are actioning it right now.
Yeah, right.
And Roger, you can action that whatever you live in, you action it, that actioning is constituent.
Okay.
Let's
look at that.
Running, I put my shoes on, I put my socks on. All those are marathon running. Just to use an illustration, which I know you hate to do, but for clarity's sake.
Okay, but if you understand what you just said, Sally, then you must understand is you look at that as cause and effect, and I am saying that's emergent.
Right.
So the universe is simultaneously doing cause and effect and emergent.
Right, okay, yes.
As you said, picking constituents and etc., that each one of those things is merely only a picking of a constituent, putting on your shoes to go running. Is that okay?
But putting putting on my running shoes doesn't cause necessarily marathon running.
That's right. So, but each tiny step of picking a constituent, marathon running could be emergent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yep.
If you only chose constituents that you would be willing to be and do and live eternally, would not you as an eternal emergent, as an emergent eternal being exist?
Yep, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm only enlivening the eternal things, yeah.
And could I not enliven that, let's say, in every allow me this word. Could I not enliven that differently in every begin again moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But could I not at the same time then be hung up with memories on the old crap?
Well, definitely that
Is that okay?
That happens.
Huh?
That happens.
That happens at all times, because now, could I then memory that or not, and not carry it as memories?
How do you do that? That's what we've been talking about for the last 2 hours.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible in this regard then? Would it be possible to instantaneously memory something that a moment ago didn't exist but now exists?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's entanglement as well. The active portion of entanglement is memory. So it didn't exist. And yet, by activating that, you made it exist. You didn't bring it from memory. You actually made it exist that didn't exist.
Okay.
Does that mean then that you can bring anything to existence from nothing?
Does mean that, yes.
But if you don't believe that, then you have to try and find a way to have the stuff, to remember the stuff, to bring it or to make it real or to do something with it. And you've denied yourself and limited yourself when you do that.
Right.
I see that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, if everybody sees that, I'm going to quit.
Good moment.
I mean, I have never ended a Monday where I was really ahead.
You're not ahead.
But now do you understand, eternal by reason? You are the reason for everything in your life. You are the reason for eternal self. Or you are the reason for no eternal self.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Isn't that different than the way we used reason 2 weeks ago?
No. I said
we're using reason to go like, who here in the universe, thus therefore it is true, or something like that.
Well, there can be other reason in that regard, but what Anne was proposing is reasoning.
All right.
And I'm just using it. This is the reason. Now, you activate that reason, not activating reasoning, but if you are the reason, then you activate that reason, and in that, then you create everything by reason.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Or you forsake everything you desire for the same reason. That you didn't create it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there we are. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, thanks for the site. We'll have to. Now, everybody get in there and start posting and showing, brag a bit. That's what the site is. It's a braggart site.
Okay.
Good night for now.